good afternoon, and let me apologize, my throat is not good, and I'm having mint in my mouth, so my voice may not be that clear. Good afternoon to all of you, and this presentation is really as a result of our efforts in enhancing utilization of germplasm in the crop improvement programs. And when I say that is, today we were fortunate to listen to Peter Breiting during Frankenmeyer Medal, and he also indicated the need to enhance utilization of germplasm. And why I say this again and again is that even in the centers, even in the CG centers, where gene banks are there, there is no problem of getting germplasm. Breeders are in the same building. The utilization of germplasm is not more than 0.5%. And if you see the pedigrees of major crop cultivars globally, they stand on less than one dozen initial accessions. You see the pedigree of any of those lines. So in this research, what we did was we evaluated close to 3,000 accessions for various agronomic and nutritional traits in 3 years. And this crop is chickpea. Some of you who may not know, it's a protein-rich legume crop grown in over 50 countries. And for the people like me, in India, we have close to 80% of 1.2 billion people vegetarian. This provide this and other pulses provide the protein source for us. Chickpea yields are low, and they continue to be low, and the reasons are obvious. There are biotic stresses, abiotic stresses, as well as the cultivars have a very narrow genetic base. And the last but one bullet you can see, where is this? You have? Can I? I don't find it here.
Oh, it's this.
Okay, sure. So here, these are generally you find the breeding objective. High levels of host plant resistant, nutrient dense, high yield potential. So these are the basic objective. And how to provide what breeders need is that we evaluated these 2,980 accessions, and this was a concept brought, came up with the GCP Generation Challenge Program. You have the concept of core collections, then we postulated a mini core collection. And this came in the vogue, composite collection, we called it. When you have different collections, for instance, Equiset is the largest collection of chickpea. But Ekada also have chickpea. Pullman also has chickpea. So if you can put in a collection the global resources, and this has 3,000 lines, which included 1956 accessions of our core collection 2001 and 211 of mini core collection and 709 accessions representing diversity from Ekada. About 7,000 accessions were there which are unique to Ekada, which we did not have, Equiset doesn't have. So these about 2,000 accessions represented diversity in Equiset collection and 709 in Ekada. 2,980 were cultivated type and 20 were wild species of reticulatum and echinospermum. 1,691 were desi, 1,150 were about kabuli, and about 130 were intermediate types. So this was the composition. Further, if you see, core collection, Ekada gene bank, different morphological variants, and trait-specific germplasm, advanced cultivars and breeding lines, everything was there. So this constituted this composite collection. And this was evaluated in three seasons. Iron protein and zinc were evaluated only in 2014-15 post-rainy season. And post-rainy season starts from October and continues till March of the next year. So both between seasons and pooled analysis indicated that variance was significant, genotypes in all 3 years, and genotype by environment and genotype in the pooled analysis. And estimates of heritability in broad sense for traits like days to flower, flowering duration is something like when initiation of flowering and completion of flowering. So this gives the more the period, it can indicate more filling period, grain filling period is available. And then days to maturity, 100 seed weight, very high heritability. And in fact, this trait is so good that you don't need anything else. Even a blind person can see whether the seed is big or not. The yield-related traits, moderate heritability, about 50%. But iron and zinc, again, 70 to 72% broad sense heritability based on pooled analysis. We had 6 control cultivars. CAC 2 is a Kabuli type cultivar. So what we did was for each trait, we identified that the number of significant line in the pooled analysis based on 3 years analysis and the consistent accessions which were earlier than the best control cultivar, that they are in the last column. And this is the value of say CAC 2 flowers in 48 days. And this is another control cultivar, desi type. So this is Kabuli cultivar, this is 38. Overall, intermediate was none of the line, 5 over here, 5 over here. And then these cultivars in desi, say accessions, and these in Kabuli. These two lines are from Pakistan. In fact, they seem to be sister lines, Kabuli type collected from very near place. 16641 and 44, and then intermediate types. Similarly, for flowering duration, days to maturity, again, CAC 2 matured in 92 days. And then you have again these two lines, the same which flowered early are the one, and then over here, and this line is from Ekada, which was very early maturing, and I mean, say, significantly better than CAC 2. Pots per plant, 100 seed weight, all these things. This is a late maturing line, G130. So you can get anything more than 37 gram over here, and then L550, 11 lines over here. This is pots per plant is 94, 100 seed weight is for CAC 2, 37. These were again very, very consistent lines in all 3 years, as well as in pooled analysis, out of 3,000 they gave. Seed yield, none was significantly superior than the best yielding cultivar. However, the yield you can see is in the entire collection is 2,000, ranged up to 2,500. ICCB 10 was the highest yielding, 2,351. So there were close to 50 to 60 germplasm lines in all 3 years yielded similarly or more, though not statistically significantly. And these lines, and L550 is one line which is very, very old line from Punjab, Ludhiana, and there were lines which were much, much better in Kabuli type than this, and ICCB2 is a desi type. Similarly, in protein content, 21 protein content is JG11. Iron content, L550 is 61 ppm. Zinc and zinc is 41 ppm. There were some lines which were good, better than them, but it was for one season, so consistency data is not there. Then what we did was, we had 48 SSR data on these lines from GCP, 3000 accessions, 48 SSR lines. So we extracted that and then estimated the genetic distance between the accessions for a group. For instance, dust flowering, an entire set, there were 8 lines which were significantly better than the best control cultivar, and this pair was the one which has the maximum distance. Similarly, Desi 5 and Kabuli 5 accessions. So you can see here, and these were the minimum distance of these lines. And you can see over here ICCV2, non-nodulation type, and ICCV2. So there was only this selection from ICCV2 which was non-nodulating type. So you don't expect them to be really highly significantly different from each other. Similarly, for flowering duration, plant height, days to maturity. So what we did identify was that we identified trait-specific germplasm, and then pods per plant, yield per plant, and 100 seed weight. Here again, for each of those traits, where the large number of entries were there which were better than the control, we took top 30 lines. For instance, out of 140, if you take top 30 lines, similarly out of 136, you take top 30 lines, and then again the best pair among them. So a breeder can select that these are not only high yielding, but among high yielding, what could be the combination of the parents which can be used in the breeding program. For 100 seed weight again, iron, zinc, protein. So these were the again good pairs, and this is an IG means Icarda line. Seed yield. This is a trait where which fascinates me quite a lot. In entire, we found 26 accessions which were better than the numerically, and then these were the pair which had highest genetic distance. And then Desi also and Kabuli were the 12. So the one who want to use the Kabuli types improvement program, these were the parents, 12 could have been used, and some of the distance are there. Then what we did was we identified multiple traits. For instance, 3 protein, iron, and zinc, as well as 2 or 3 agronomic traits put together. So there were some lines which were very good for multiple, 69 lines were there which were good for multiple traits in Desi 31 and Kabuli 67. So you can find multiple trait germplasm through careful evaluation, and this trials were so very well done that the CB and others were in the range of 15% to 20% for yield even. And that's why you can get up to 50-55% heritability for yield is quite appreciable one. So in conclusion, I'll say that we did observe in this composite collection, which consisted of the diversity of Acreset collection as well as Icarda collection and released cultivars and others, there was huge variability in these 3000 accessions. And the diversity for agronomic traits, nutritional trait, we did identify. We did identify trait-specific germplasm and trait-specific genetically diverse germplasm also, because we do believe that once you use these traits, this kind of germplasm, you not only enhance the trait, but you broaden the genetic base of the population as such. And that's why we also recognize that breeders don't work on only one trait, they work on multiple traits. Beside yield, they work on nutritional, they work on drought tolerance. So multiple trait germplasm, if identified, that can, along with the nutritional and other trait, can help develop cultivars with a broad genetic base and desired traits. These 3000 genotypes are being sequenced, and then obviously genome-wide association studies would be done, and we would be publishing that as well. With that, I thank you, all of you, for your attention, and if there is any question, it will be my pleasure to answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
What?
Shatter?
Yeah. No. 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 Shattering in chikki, I haven't observed. It shatters when you walk through, because when it becomes too brittle, but by that time we harvest. I harvest when stem is still 5% green. Yeah.
All right, is this data that I've seen in the publication, is it in a public facing database?
No, not yet. It, yes, once we publish it, it would be in the... but then this project is done by the funding from Government of India and Department of Science and Technology. So, Government of India permitting, it would be on the public domain. Sequencing and other things also they are funding. Yes.
So, Karen, what is the pathway of moving this information and this germplasm to breeders in Ikrasat and breeders in India generally? And have these lines been assessed for heat tolerance?
Okay, very good question. Heat tolerance, there are two publications on heat tolerance, not from this stuff, but 300 lines, which we are reference set lines, from these 3000, what we did was we used data on 48 SSR markers and identified 300 lines which were having the maximum diversity. Those we evaluated for heat tolerance. Also, 22 lines which were of similar maturity, we evaluated them also for heat tolerance, and I think in 2011 there is a publication on heat tolerance. There were germplasm lines which were as good as the bred lines 93, 94, 44, and yielding 15 to 20% more than the best control cultivar from germplasm. Oh, the answer is that this information is available in publication, and this information is also available in the database, whether these about these lines, and breeders are using some of these lines identified either through multi-location evaluation or their own evaluations.